It's wonderful to be here again. I am We're going to talk about following the truth of the Word of God. I feel the Spirit of God saying I should be very gentle, like a brother, and have a heart-to-heart talk, so I'll try to do that. But I do pray that we all come out with something that we can hold on to. So I'll give you the good news, but I'll start with the not-so-good news first. That's what they say at work. Evil teachings would become worse, pandering to popular philosophy. At a time that Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, he had noticed that there were a lot of people, I believe that you touched on this in the last talk. There were people who were lovers of themselves and not preaching the true gospel of Christ, but actually teaching something out of self-interest, something other than the gospel, either because they were afraid of what the popular culture of the day would, the way they would be viewed, or they were afraid of being unpopular themselves, or they just plain and simple wanted to gain glory for themselves. But Paul is writing saying evil teachings would become worse. It's going to continue. It was continuing at that time. It still continues today. So it is something that was already there at the time, and it continues to beat us up even today. But I just felt God depositing something in me, saying that, see, the Word of God, to those who have treasured it, is like an anchor. You know, if you had a boat and you were out at sea, sometimes you get a nice sunny day. But when the waves come and the storms come, when you have your anchor, you can be shaken. It doesn't excuse you, it doesn't exempt you from the storm. But you see, because you have an anchor, you manage to stand. It doesn't mean that you won't be shaken, it doesn't mean that the waves won't come battering against you, but you will still stand. Why? Because you have an anchor. So you could imagine you could be shaken this way, shaken that way. What are we talking about? When the waves of false doctrine, of people trying to be men pleasers, are coming and shaking you this way or that way, when people come and preach an alternative gospel to what we already have received from God, when people come and speak untruths, it is the tether that helps us not to stray from the true and the sound doctrine of the Word of God. A Christian was never meant to be without the Word of God. If we try to live the Christian life outside of the Word of God, no matter how well intentioned we are, we fail. We fall flat on our faces. Why do we do that? Because we were not designed in that way. The human being and the human spirit is designed to go together in the power and the Spirit of God. But how do you know that? The reason that you know is because the Word of God is deposited in your spirit. If we have the Word of God in our hearts, then and only then can we be able to stand firm. We have the boldness to go out and preach, not just preach anything, but preach a sound doctrine that is able to save the people who hear it. Two, we have the ability to stand even when the evil one tries to shake us. We are like a big, well-planted tree. Psalms 1 says, of the righteous man, he is like a tree that is planted by the waterside or the riverside. Sorry, I'm translating from my language. And that tree will not be shaken. Why? Because your roots are firmly, you know, grounded in the Word. So the human being is meant to go, or is meant to survive. This is why Jesus says to the devil, man shall not live on bread alone. It is good to come to church. It is good to have fellowship. It is good to read books. But you see, if we don't have the tether that tells us, when I listen to something on the God channels, I am listening to it, but you see, my spirit says, no, this is not right. Yes, he may be popular. He's a great preacher. He is an awesome preacher. He has a mighty big church. But this is not right. See, what is it that will tell me that this is not right? The thing that will tell me that this is not right is because I have the word of God in me. I compare everything that is preached to what the word of God is saying. Here at Slap Baptist Church, we have a very rich culture in raising little champions. We have so many young people from very, very, very small ages to a very tender, lovely age. But what we do, I know, trust me, I teach some of them. But it's great to do life together, and we are very good. It's something that most churches don't have anymore. But you see, one of the strengths that we have that I am so happy about in our church is that we try to instill the gospel in young people from a very early age. We try to show them how to get that tether, how to understand, appropriate the promises of God for themselves, and how to find out why God brought them into the earth. Why are they here? What is it that God expects of them? What is the purpose of their life? You know, so we try and help them and how to navigate through life from an early age. Why do we do that? Because like Paul, we want to set a good example. But do we only just do that? Oh, one day, I was given a very hard lesson by Helen. She's not here. I'm so glad she's not here. We were playing a game of cards in Uganda. I didn't understand. I'm not very good with games. I was playing this card game, and it was called President or something like that. And apparently, when you were at the very bottom of the, like, if you lost the game last time, you become something, I don't want to say the word, but you're like the least person ever, something akin to peasant, you know. So you have to give your best cards to the person who won, who is the president. I gave what I thought were my best cards. Unbeknown to me, 2 minutes later, as we played the game, I put out my remaining best card. And everybody went, no, you cheated. And Helen said, Marshall, come here. She sat me down. I said, honest, I didn't know. She said, no. This is not how we do it. You have to lead by example. Good sportsmanship. This is the example. This is the most important thing. More than what you say is what you do. See? And I learned something. Not that I didn't know it, but you know, I had to plead my case. I didn't know, you know, that a 2 is greater than a king and a J and all the other. I thought a 2 was just a 2, you know, but apparently that's the greatest card in the game. So what am I trying to say? It wasn't only just what Paul said. It was what Paul, the life that he lived. So, let's go back into the scripture, if I can get this thing to work. Open. Right. So it says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. So Paul is talking about a whole list of things that he would like Timothy to remember. You know about all these teachings and his life as well. And then we go again, verse 14 says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus, or through faith in him, rather. So, as I gave that little example of what we do, we try and teach the young children from an early age how to follow Christ, in the hope and in the prayerful hope that as they grow up, they will not depart from it. There are so many popular type of teachings out in the world that excuse a lot of untruths because people are afraid of speaking something that will rise up against them tomorrow. There are so many people who are afraid of persecution. What did Paul say? He said, to everyone who believes, I'm paraphrasing, to everyone who believes, actually, persecution comes with it. It comes with it. We cannot run away from being unpopular because of what we believe. But what we absolutely cannot do, this is why God said, I should be kind and say it, but like a brother. I pray that we remember this. What we cannot do is to compromise the word of God so that we are not unpopular. See, the minute we start doing that, then we become enemies with God. A word came into my heart, turncoat. Anyone who lived through the First and Second World War would know what that means. Turncoats were people who, when they got behind the enemy lines, when they got to the other side, or they got stranded, or you were a fighter pilot and you crashed, and you found yourself on the wrong side, and you knew that you could possibly be taken prisoner, you decide to take off your coat quickly and say, well, yeah, I'm not with them. I change my allegiance. I say that I'm of the other team or that I am not affiliated to anyone. Why? Because I'm afraid of the consequences of saying I am part of that group. So how would it feel if I was in a relationship with someone, whatever kind of relationship, and I thought we were going together for a cause, and when we got to the thick of it, someone said, oh, no, I'm not with him. I'm not with him. If you were, don't take this example, but where I grew up, young people used to fight a lot. And if you were approached by a group of boys and they said, well, you know what, today we're going to beat you up at the gates after school. And you said, oh, no, you're not going to beat me up. Why I'm saying, I'm being very brave and saying, no, that's not going to happen. Because I think my friends are with me. And I turn around and they're nowhere to be seen. They've run off. How would that feel? I've been in that situation. It's not nice. So it sounds very petty. It sounds like something that's really funny. But when you really put it towards or turn it into something of our own faith, it is very serious. It's not a good thing for us to actually become turncoats when it suits us. When scripture doesn't seem to go together with what the popular belief says, that we should then decide to turn. But what is following the truth of God's word is living a life that is consistent with the calling that we've been given. Living a life that is consistent with what the word of God, who has promised us his salvation, who loves us, who has promised us that he will deliver us from all of the persecutions, from all of the condemnation. See, how can we see the miraculous when we do not want to put ourselves on the stand? If you can't stand in the middle of adversity, it's very difficult for you to see God doing anything at all in your life. Whew. But it's the truth. Because every time that God says, you take this path, walk through the path. See, I walk through the ravine, through the valley. And when I'm in the valley, I am being put through the valley, not on my own, but he is with me. And the reason why he is with me is so that he can show me his power. Why does he want to put me in the ravine for him to show me his power? So that I can trust him more. If I can't go through the ravine with him, and when he says, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I say, not me, I'm going to go around. I have a better idea. I'll go around it. I cannot do that. Why? Because I'm going against what the word of God says. We will suffer persecution, but God will deliver us. We don't look for persecution, but when it finds you, Don't turn cold. Believe in the word of God that you have been raised in. I'm not saying go looking for trouble. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for people to go and say very controversial statements in the street corner and then say, well, you know what? I'm being persecuted. Praise the Lord, I'm worthy of being persecuted. No, no, no. I am saying where God leads you, you will find adversity. Sometimes it's just as simple your friend saying, I don't understand those people who go to church. They're the worst sinners ever. Do you really go to church? And you go, well, once a month, at Christmas, you know how it is. You don't say that. Yes, I do go to church. I'll take the criticism. Because you know what? We have misrepresented as a collective body what God stands for. But it's an opportunity for me. See, if I don't say, oh no, I only just go once at Christmas, it is actually an opportunity when I look inside me and look at the Holy Spirit in me to give a response. That's a time for me to answer that person's question. But how will God answer that person's question and their misgivings if I've already turned and taken a different path and said, well, I only go at Christmas? You know what it's like. The wife is the one. I do it for the wife and kids. You know, it's just one of those things. You know what you got to do. You can't say that. So sometimes, I'm not talking about somewhere where you actually get killed. It could be, but I'm not talking about that at the moment. Because I doubt that we've ever had to face a situation where someone said, say you're a Christian, say it, and I'm going to shoot you in the face. No one has ever said that to any of us right now. But what has happened is the little things in everyday life where we have a chance to show God's goodness. But because we don't want the challenge, because we want the easy way out, we take the fire escape. And standing for the word of God and the truth of the word of God is not, I'm not going to stand here and teach you the word of God so that you can stand on the word of God. Because that would take forever. If that is what you need, fine. Stick around. Might take a year, but we'll get there. But right now, the word of God that you know, the word of God that we've been preaching to each other, the word of God that we've been disseminating to each other, the lives that we've been living and trying to show each other, that this is the way that we ought to live as a Christian. And the Bible that you have, whether it's an e-Bible, whether it's a whatever kind of Bible, I'm encouraging us. Let us dwell, delve, research, and then study to show yourselves as approved servants. Why? Because God wants to use us. But God cannot use us if we're not availing ourselves to be used. So, one, not running away. What is Paul talking about? Quickly, I'll say, he's talking about doctrine. In all branches of the doctrine, having a sound doctrine, we've got to know. See, you don't wait until someone challenges you, then you feel like you need to run away because you haven't been studying the word. We study the word before you get a challenge. Before you start getting battered by the storms, study the word. And then this way, when the troubles come, it doesn't mean that we won't have a bad day and come and cry to each other. We're being real. We will have a bad day. This is why we have a fellowship, so we can come and cry to each other and pray together. But you see, it becomes very, very, very difficult when we don't have the word in our hearts. Because then I start questioning, even, is he even there? And it becomes very difficult. And we have this hurt. Sometimes we keep coming to church, but you know what? We are carrying a hurt and a big pain, not towards anyone else, but towards God. Even when I'm praying, I'm closing my eyes, but I'm really feeling like, you know, God, I'm just praying to you, but I just don't know, God, I don't know. I don't know who's been there, but I'm just saying it's good. Give the word a chance. Give the word a chance. It's not something that I can then say, well, you know what? I need to see you doing something for me to then come back and say, okay, fine. You are there. Because God has always been there. And God will never change. What I need to do is to go back and say, right, what do you need me to be? A very good mentor of mine said, I need to know what I need. Nobidus, I need to know so that I can be and then I can do. You know, and then when you have the knowledge, it tells you who you need to be. When you know who you need to be, then you go and do. But I can't stand on the seaside and say, well, God, you've got to get that big sea out and drench me because I'm hurt and I'm angry with you. I've got to come to God. He says, come to me. He will send people out to speak to me, but he says, come to me. Anyway, I digress. Purpose. The end and design of my ministry, that I'm giving glory to God. This is Paul talking to Timothy about his purpose, that you know my purpose. You know my long suffering amidst of persecution. You know my charity, my love to all people, even the persecutors that persecuted him. He was persecuted by Jews and Gentiles alike, but he still had a heart for them, all the same. But then he says, but the Lord delivered me from all of them. I'll tell you this one thing. God delivers us. But look at how God says he will deliver us. Sometimes we have to go through the lessons, even if God is going to deliver us. I watched a film called Denzel Washington. Oh, I've forgotten the name of it. But he had to deliver a Bible to someone. The Book of Eli, that's it, yes. In that film, he believed God would help him and see him through. But by the time he got to the end of it, he had gone through the worst of the worst of things. But you know what? God did get him through. Saying that God got me through doesn't mean, see, sometimes then we'll say, well, why did I suffer this? Why did I get beaten? But he will get you through. Patience is good. But we need to learn from the example of Paul. The brethren that we have in overseas territories, we pray for them on a regular basis. They get martyred, they get killed, they get murdered all the time because of what they believe. Yet, they do not turn from what they believe. They do not turn coat. They do not say, oh no, I am not a Christian. They still stand. This is the reason why we are still praying for them. We suffer so much less because God chose to put us in a situation where we don't actually get killed for what we believe. This is a challenge I'm giving us today, to go home and think about that. And then think, follow the word of God, follow the truth of the word of God. Why? Because if the other man and the other woman and the other child can follow the word of God, they believe in it so much, they immerse themselves in it so much, that they actually get killed for it. We haven't got that far. Should we not feel a greater burden to be more exemplary, to be more truthful, to be more, you know, outward in our faith, to stand firm in the truth of the word of God? So it is a challenge to us. And the Bible says, all scripture, this is Romans 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. No, I'm lying, it's not John 3. It's the same scripture that we read, but 3:16, yes. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction and righteousness. The word of God has everything that we need. We just need to follow it. And when we follow it, God is faithful. He will not lead us astray. And God will not put us to shame. Because God has given us his word. And he has sworn by none greater than himself. He is not a liar. He didn't call us so that he can drop us. But he called us to remain truthful and to remain faithful. We need to oppose error by promoting solid knowledge of God's word. Oppose the error by promoting solid knowledge of the word of God. In other words, wherever we are, it's not done from the pulpit. We're not saying we should always preach the truth at the pulpit only. We're saying everyone who comes to this church is a light. And as a light, you are part of the light of God, the light of the world. When we go out there into the world to shine. And what are we shining? We're shining the exemplary life, as Paul is saying, what you learned, what you've seen, leave it. What you know, leave it. And go and shine out there. So we're promoting the truth of God out there. Let's leave it and leave the truth of God. Let's leave it to our kids. Leave it to new believers, to each other, and out into the world. It is good things because God says that the word is there so that we are thoroughly furnished unto all good works to make us complete and bring to an end. See it through, to see us through, to make sure that we reach the expected end. God will not confound us. When we are trustworthy to him, he is always trustworthy. How wonderful at the end of your race when God will come and meet you and shake your hand, you know, and say, well done. You fought a good fight. And all these Christians that have gone before us will stand there and say, you did a good job. The rest of the stuff doesn't matter. The things that we fight so much about and we stress about in this world, the degrees that we want to have and the houses and the sizes of them and all these, they're good for now, but they will not carry forward. The thing that really carries forward is the truth of God that we manage to spread and the life that we live for God. That is not saying that you shouldn't worry about where you're going to live, but it is saying that we need to prioritize what we do. I'm going to end with a little, is it a passage or a poem I found on the internet while I was just going through stuff during the week. How precious, I don't know who wrote it, by the way, so I can't give credit. How precious this book divine, by inspiration given, bright as a lamp, its doctrines shine to guide our souls to heaven. It sweetly cheers our drooping hearts. In this dark veil of tears, it quells our rising fears. This lamp, through all the tedious night of life, shall guide our way till we behold the clearer light of an eternal day. Amen.